It's Esther here, just across in, about inner beauty and self-image in regards to Esther. So yeah, but God just fill my lips tonight with what you want me to talk about. And let the anointing flow, and let yoke be broken, burdens removed. In Jesus' name, and above all things, let you be glorified in this time, in Jesus' name. So yeah, I'm just going to talk about Queen Esther in the Bible. So we've had like a few teachings so far about Esther in the last few weeks about sin in women of worth. And I'm just going to kind of give an overview of what we've spoken about. So a description of the life of Queen Esther and her impact on the people of the Old Testament during the reign of King Ahasuerus. So Esther means star, and she's, as I'm sure people are already aware, that she's an orphaned Jewish child raised in Persia by Mordecai, her cousin, and was chosen by King Ahasuerus to replace a vacillating and adamant Queen Vashti. Esther, originally named Hadassah, meaning the myrtle, is the heroine of the biblical book that bears her name. Hadassah received her name of Esther when she entered the royal harem. So, I would say that often throughout the Bible you see people's names changed. For example, is it Paul? Saul to Paul? Israel? Jacob to Israel. And we see with Esther, Hadassah to Esther. And if we look at the meaning of her name, star, you know, it says in the Bible somewhere, I can't really remember the scripture right now, sorry, but that we are to shine like stars, and that we are. Yeah, that it's a similar one to let your light shine before men, but there's one that says that we are shining like stars. And it makes me think of Joseph and his brothers and the dream that he had, where he dreamt that he was stars. But it's just looking at the power of a name and why God changed her name. The Bible verse where we see this happen is Esther 2, verse 7. And he brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother, and the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own daughter. Esther was the daughter of a Benjamite, Abihail. When Cyrus gave permission for the exiles to return unto Jerusalem, she stayed with Mordecai, her cousin. As we know, King Ahasuerus gave authority to Haman to kill all Jews in the Persian Empire. Haman was King Ahasuerus' prime minister. Haman called for this ruling to be given because Mordecai refused to bow to Haman. Haman felt ridiculed and stripped of his authority by Mordecai's refusal to bow down to him, and so he went to the king to claim that all Jews were the same and should be killed. So if we look at Queen Esther's response, Queen Esther listened to the voice of God. And in this day and age, it was not wise for anyone to go before the king without permission, not even the queen. But Esther, having heard of what was being planned, risked her life and position as queen to go before Ahasuerus in behalf of herself and her people. So yeah, Esther went before the king and asked him if he knew that his order to kill all the Jews would also extend to her since she was a Jew. Upon King Ahasuerus hearing this, he overturned the order, and Haman and his sons were hanged on the very same gallows that he had planned on using for Mordecai and the rest of the Jews. So we can relate that to our lives today. When situations come, or when things come, and... Oh, hi, Lorde. Sorry. Welcome, please welcome. When situations come, or people come, and they try and bow, get you to bow down to them, it also makes you think of Daniel and Meshach and Abednego. You know, they didn't bow down to another god. And we see this in this day and age where, you know, society is, whether that's in our workplaces, our universities, whether that's through, you know, media or family or kind of acquaintances, or, you know, even within church, we may see certain things happen that cause us to kind of maybe feel that we need to kind of do what other people are doing or compromise our faith. But we know that we live by the leading of the Holy Spirit and by the word of God. And so, yeah, I just want to encourage everyone today that, you know, it's not about letting yourself bow down to whatever things are right before you. Mordecai did not bow down, and if you look at the fact that he didn't bow down to Haman, and even then thinking that he was going to die, get killed, and then God switched it. He actually switched the situation, and Haman got hanged himself on the very gallows that he built for Mordecai and Haman's sons as well. And I know not exactly the same, but it's similar to something that happened to me last week. Last week, I was going to an all-night prayer, and we met this woman who she said she's been asking since 5 p.m. for someone to top up her Oyster card, and this is now 8:30 p.m. at night, and she's saying that people have walked past her, have said to her, you know, you shouldn't be begging. And this is like a woman who looks about 60 years old, like. And I understand some people may feel reluctant to give money, particularly if you're not sure if people are going to buy drugs or alcohol, but if someone's asking to top up the Oyster card, as children of God, I believe that, you know, it's better to give than to receive, as the Bible says, and you reap what you sow. So I felt led to give that to her, and did that. And she shared a testimony where that she said that the woman that she was working for was like saying, oh, you know, I need to see your papers for working here. So she bought the papers, like, to show that she had a visa to work here and that permission to stay here. And the woman at the workplace was like, oh no, I think you just made that up. You got your partner to make that up. And no matter what she did, she believed that she showed that manager love and mercy and grace and all the things that you're meant to show people. But that woman just had it in for her. And so she said, so she took it to God and she prayed. And the next day, like 2 days later, sorry, she went back to work, and that woman came into the room. Basically, she was trying to get that person to be basically out of the workplace. But that person was a Christian who was sharing his testimony. And she basically said, you know, the manager said, I'm leaving. And the woman was like, oh, let us know when you're having your leaving dinner or June. She's like, okay, but I'm leaving like tomorrow. And then someone overheard the conversation and told the Christian lady, the one who prayed about the situation, that person actually got fired. So it's like what she was planning for that woman to get her fired out of that workplace, God turned it back onto that person. Not because she asked for a negative thing to happen to the person, because it's blessed those who hurt you, but because the vengeance is God, so like God will deal with your enemies. And it's not even that person's your enemy, it's the spiritual darkness behind her actions, so it's actually not the person. So you don't need to pray against people, you just need to ask God to vindicate you in every situation, and God will turn around, just like what he turns around for Mordecai in the face of adversity and looking like you might lose your job, or you might, you know, you might lose something that you've worked hard to be in, or whatever it is, and God will turn the situation around. So the Bible verse where we see certain things, like, you know, happening regarding Esther approaching the king and Haman, is Esther 7, verse 1 to 10. That's Esther 7, verse 1 to 10. So the king and Haman came to banquet with Esther the queen. This is obviously after Esther has asked them to come for a meal, right? So obviously now you're seeing that you know, she's gone before the king, and she says, if I perish, I perish. But the fact is, the king allowed her to come before her, and he asked what was her request. She said, can you and Haman come for dinner with me? So Esther 7, verse 1 to 10 says, so the king and Haman came to banquet with Esther the queen, and the king said again unto Esther on the second day at the banquet of wine, what is thy petition, Queen Esther, and shall it be granted thee, and what is thy request? And it shall be performed, even to the half of the kingdom. Then Esther the queen answered and said, If I have found favour in thy sight, O king, and if it pleases the king, let my life be given me at my petition, and my people at my request, for we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish. But if we had been sold for bondmen and bondwomen, I had held my tongue, although the enemy could not countervail the king's damage. Then the king Ahasuerus answered and said unto Esther the queen, who is he, and where is he, that durst presume in his heart to do so? And Esther said, the adversary and enemy is this wicked Haman. Then Haman was afraid before the king and the queen. And the king, arising from the banquet of wine in his wrath, went into the palace garden. And Haman stood up to make request for his life to Esther the queen, for he saw that there was evil determined against him by the king. Then the king returned out of the palace garden into the place of banquet of wine, and Haman was fallen upon the bed whereon Esther was. Then said the king, will he force the queen also before me in the house? As the word went out of the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. And Harbonah, one of the chamberlains, said before the king, behold also the gallows 50 cubits high, which Haman had made for Mordecai, who had spoken good for the king, standeth in the house of Haman. Then the king said, hang him thereon. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king's wrath pacified. And through this, an annual feast, the Feast of Purim, was set up in the memory of the deliverance of the Jews. So if we look at now the type of woman that Queen Esther was, and as women of worth, as women of God, we can look at how we can apply that to our lives today. So first of all, Esther had gentleness because she, I think it was more than once they had dinner, I think it was two or three times. And I think it's on the second time, sorry, it is the second time rather, that she then exposed what was going on. So she waited for a set time, and I think as women of God, we need to exercise that gentleness, and it's patience as well. So this can apply in many ways. In Proverbs it says, don't stir up love before it's time. You know, in regards to relationships, you know, it's about waiting on God's timing. And obviously Esther, she was chosen out of hundreds of women to marry the king, and she was an orphan. And it just shows, actually, what was it about Esther that got the favour of the king and the favour of God? And seeing how this can apply to us today, you know. So Queen Esther was a woman of faith. And you can write these things down as well if you wish. Faith, goodness, devotion, and courage. She built upon these characteristics, combining with them a sense of watchfulness. So as women of God, we need to be watchful. And that can, you know, that makes me think of Proverbs 31, the part where it says that she wakes up in the night and she kind of ensures that things are done for her children and her husband, and in regards to, you know, household things and providing, in that sense, the comfort for her children and her husband. And she's watchful. You know, as a virtuous woman, that's something we need to look at. Esther was devoted to her cousin Mordecai and obedient to his teaching, so it's to do also with submission. But when we look at submission, often it might sound like a control thing, but we're talking about submerging under someone's ministry. So Mordecai was placed in her life to actually support Esther in fulfilling her destiny, and I think it's important to ask God for that discernment and for those right people to be around us, so that we have those
so that we're equally yoked with the right people that will assist us to get us to our destiny. And she was obedient to his teaching. So, you know, there's a part which, Mordecai said to her, "Who knows that you had not been chosen for such a time as this?" And that's a very, that's like the main part of the teaching, that she was kind of a little bit nervous to go before God, before the king. And obviously she had to be brave, and she had to be obedient to Mordecai and to God. You know, her grace and her beauty gave her favour amongst all that she came in contact with. But we're going to talk about the beauty part in a minute, because it wasn't just her outward appearance, it was her inward character. And those attributes I've just talked about make up her inward character. But the Bible verse that we're going to look at, just to back up what I was saying, is Esther 2:15. "Now when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, was come to go unto the king, she required nothing but what Haggai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed, and Esther obtained favour in the sight of all of them that looked upon her." So that shows me that the king, if you're looking at hundreds of women, you've got to think to yourself, what was it about Esther? You know, she required nothing but what Haggai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed. And as far as we know, she had 12 months worth of treatment, 6 months of myrrh and 6 months of other beauty treatments. We can only imagine what that may look like now. My personal opinion would be like a sauna, a sauna house or something. But for 12 months, but I want to ask the people that are here, what you'd like, how would you envision the 12 months preparation as a woman of God? Yemi, how would you envision the 12 months preparation that she had?
I've thought about this before. I think the way I see that, the time when I was younger, and the way that I saw that was that the women, right, they were preparing themselves before the king, and it made me think of, like, how are we preparing ourselves to meet the King of Kings?
Man.
And also, like, when Esther asked, like, I don't know,
the king's chamberlain.
So that's like very close to the king. Mm-hmm. She asked him for his beauty, so she went for his beauty because he was close to the king. And like our beauty tips are from Jesus Christ, because he's our mediator before the King of Kings. And also that, yeah, I forgot what the question was.
Yeah, how would you envision a 12-month preparation? Like, obviously, I would say it's 12 months preparation of ministry, and to prepare you for ministry things and for being a queen, so, and to be a wife. So how would you envision that in today's society? They had 6 months of oil of myrrh, 6 months of other beauty treatments. So I envision that as a sauna, and maybe a bit of teaching on, like, etiquette.
You know, they used to have those etiquette
things. Yeah.
Like that.
I like that one. Definitely. I mean, do you think that they had like a certain diet?
Like how to like cook the vegetables and fruits. And
yeah.
I think they're
crafty.
true agreement.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Give you that. That's
true.
Right.
It's a basic idea.
Yeah. I think. I mean, I don't know about the size of Ben and all that stuff, but I know that. I envision that your diet would change mm-hmm. in regards to like purification mm-hmm. and it's funny because if you look at how we can apply that to faith, like it is about not thinking about your body being a temple of the Holy Spirit. So it's like when you come before a king, first and foremost the King of Kings, how are you coming? Like, you come in, obviously you come as you are, but then it's like God says in his word that he will turn our ashes into beauty, he'll turn our mourning into dancing, and he hasn't given us spirit of heaviness but a garment of praise. So it just makes me think that Esther, who was an orphan, would have probably experienced rejection, feelings of rejection, feelings of abandonment. You know, when God says in Psalms that even though if your mother or father forsake you, I will never forsaken you, I will never forsake you and I am with you, you know, it's that thing where yes, Mordecai was a father figure to her, but if you look at the book of Esther, the mention of God isn't there verbally, but the mention of God is throughout. How you know that she would have she would have been close to God, I would say. She would have been close to God, and she trusted God, I would say. And she didn't trust in her appearance. She trusted in the attributes, that the advice that Hagar gave her, and the training that she had. So I would say that as women of God, we all go through training in our character.
Oh, yes.
Sorry. And if you ask God for patience, be sure to know that things will come to test your patience. If you ask God to, I want to be more like you, trust that you'll be tested in the area of love and forgiveness. And you've got to look at how, in even though she was in the palace, she was around lots of other women. And of course, it's in a way, it's a competition. I would say it's a healthy competition, and I'm sure she had friendships. But it's, I would say, today's version of, in a way, a beauty pageant. But you can't really go out anywhere. So, yeah. If we look at Queen Esther, she lifted up in the eyes of God. Queen Esther lifted up in the eyes of God, became an instrument for God. Because of her devotion and willingness to listen to the voice of God, she was able to prevent the devastation and destruction of her people. Queen Esther, an instrument of God, used by God because of her willingness to obey the voice of God. So we need to look at, you know, our obedience. The Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. Yes. So you can do many things in ministry or many things that may look like you're helping people, but actually God might say to you, I want you to sit at home for a season. I'm not saying to forsake the gathering of the brethren. You can gather in different ways, but God might tell you something different. Esther was taken away from what she was familiar with. She was taken away from Mordecai and her people, and she was in a time of consecration. And I believe that, you know, the spirit of holiness is something that God's looking for in his women, in the women of God, and us as women of God. And I know God's mercies, we have God's mercies and God's grace, but it is a spirit of holiness that actually is what he's looking for, because the Bible says, as I'm holy, be holy as I am holy. So he doesn't actually look at you at what you may have done that day or what you're going through, whether that's fornication you're struggling with or whether that's, you know, kind of any other sexual immorality. But then it can even go to your character, like maybe you might have an issue of anger, or you know, you have fear. So these are the kind of things that we need to kind of consider, that actually we're fearfully ones if we made. So God didn't make mistakes when he made each of us. He knows the task that you have on earth. He knew Esther was appointed and chosen for a particular task, and each of us have been appointed for a particular task throughout our lives at different times. So it may be something for one season, another thing for another season. But if we look at Queen Esther's beauty secret, much is emphasized in our day regarding beauty. If you think of the money we spend on eyeshadow, eyeliner, lipstick and blusher, I'm telling you, the Poundland, they do some good. They do good. They do imitation. It's meant to be like genuine fat black makeup, but you don't know if it's going to be a real thing. But they do some good Rimmel in Poundland if you don't want to spend £5. So no woman would be glad when their teenage daughter gets her first job and is able to buy her own makeup. Well, I would say not a lot of women would be, because it's a kind of, it's in a way showing that you're growing up, and obviously you want to hold on to that child as your baby. Wearing makeup sometimes comes up as an issue in Bible circles, and God appreciated beauty. Do you think that evil's ugly? It's quite unlikely, you know, in that sense. We certainly know that Queen Esther of the Bible was not ugly. When we try to use the Bible as a means of defining the use or non-use of makeup, we are walking on thin ground. Wearing makeup is a Christian liberty. Not wearing makeup is also a Christian liberty. As Christians, we need to focus on the inner beauty of the heart. What about Queen Esther of the Bible? From the passage above, we are told that Esther was very beautiful. We are also told something else. She obtained the favour of the custodian of the woman. Yeah, so Esther spent 12 months going through beauty treatments. You can see that now. Mum, I need to take a year off school so I can go through beauty treatments. You probably wouldn't get a very positive reaction, would you? When it was time to appear before the king, Esther requested nothing except what the custodian of the women recommended. I would say that she was very humble. Would you agree that she was actually very humble? Because she could have overrided what, you know, Hagar said, and was like, no, I need to wear this makeup, I need to be this, because I'm a woman, and I know what the king would need. But she listened. She got to understand from a man's perspective, from a male's perspective, that actually, you know, if you look at marriage and different things like that, what is going to sustain that? Obviously, your character, not just the way you look. And when you work and let God break off certain things off your character, like refine you, then it means that your inner beauty comes out. Because I know, and I've heard of so many guys who, from the outward, a woman may look nice, but when you get to know them, you know, they're different. Even myself, not trying to be petty, if I'm walking down the street and people come to me, I'd say, you don't know me, I might be a very horrible person. So, not to assume. And similarly with us, and we're letting God let a man find us, because it's he who finds a wife, we know that we are a wife. It says a wife. So, Esther was a wife, and she was the wife. She was the only one out of hundreds of people, and it's like, we've got to think. It was the character, because I'm sure there were many other women that looked beautiful, even more beautiful in just the appearance. We probably have a whole list of things that we'd want to take with us to give us leverage with the king. And I'm sure we can all relate. When God tells us to do something in a particular way, and give us a particular instruction, we often say, God, but have you considered? This way, have you thought of this way? And God's looking, thinking, but you don't realize that if you do it in this way at this time and in that way, that person's heart that you're going before, whether that's a job and the favor that you need to get into that job, whether that's whatever it is, you know, it's about, the Bible says the steps of the righteous ordered, and God's word is a lamp to your feet and light to your path. It's about being very sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And I just, I would say it's about asking God every morning, you know, and throughout the day where possible, and in the evening, God, let me be sensitive to your Holy Spirit. Because God's ways and thoughts above our ways and thoughts. So we may think that we know how to do this thing, but God's just like, listen, if you wait, and just like the dinner thing that Esther had with Haman and Mordecai, that's very strategic. She could have just blasted in there and just said, listen, Haman's taking the mic. But God knew how to touch those men's hearts. So just gently, gently, gently approach and to be humble. If we look at now, how did the king react? The king loved Esther more than all the other women and chose her to be his queen. He was so delighted in her that he ordered a great feast for her, the feast of Queen Esther. Queen Esther's inner beauty of the heart. Does the story of Queen Esther of the Bible end here? Actually, it has only just begun. Please take the time to read the entire book of Esther. It is in the rest of the book that we will learn of the real inner heart of Esther. Esther was willing to risk her own life to save the life of her people, the Jews, which meant she also had to tell the truth about her own Jewish heritage. The Jews were not very popular amongst many of the Persians. So we can relate to that today. In situations and in things, how are we going to tell the truth about our belief and our faith, or, you know, certain things in a strategic way? Strategic. So God says, you know, where his presence is, there's freedom, there's liberty, and there's fullness of joy. So I just want to encourage everyone that wherever you are, take the presence of God with you, because either the atmosphere is going to dictate to you how you're going to be, or you're going to dictate to the atmosphere how that atmosphere is going to be, you know. So everybody has God in them, whether they acknowledge God or found God yet. Everyone has a level of God in them, they just haven't confessed Jesus as their Savior yet. So it's about not necessarily just what you say, but about you, how you act. So by the time she told them, the king, about her Jewish heritage, the king's heart was just melted. The king was just like, you're my boo, I love you. Mm-hmm. And that was it. He was just like, yeah, I mean, that's like a minor thing. But do you get what I mean? So God will do that. Make something that's a major thing into something that, you know, sometimes as women, we may think something, think about how something's going to happen. I think we may analyse and try and work out how is this going to happen, in which way. It's almost like we need to be in control. And I would say that if you look at Adam and Eve, it is actually the fallen nature of a woman to want to be in control. This is why God had to make one the head. I mean, if woman was the head, I really don't know what would be happening. And I don't mean it in an oppressive way, but I feel that men and women are the same, but we're different. Yeah. We're equal, but we can do different things. And I think it's important to remember that God made us different for a reason, so we can complement each other, so we can submerge and submit to one another. But about the man submitting to God and then you submitting to the man. The Jews were not very popular among many of the Persians, as I said. She was also very submissive to those in authority. So as I said, authority over her, such as Mordecai, and both the custodian of women and her cousin, Mordecai, as I said, and Haggai. So she was crowned queen, basically. Ultimately, she was crowned queen because of her humbleness and her submissive attitude. When I say submissive attitude in this day and age, I'm not saying that it's about a man controlling you. It's about saying that, you know what? submerging, which is actually, you know, being in alignment with one another's ministry. And, yeah, I sound like I'm talking a lot about marriage, but I think God loves marriage. He loves unity, and it's the first place that Jesus did a miracle at a wedding. And I think that, you know, Jesus likens the church as his bride. So I think if we can actually understand marriage and the purpose of why God made a man and woman in the beginning, then that would help us in our self-esteem. our self-image and actually our inner beauty. That God says, man look on the outward, but God look at the heart. So I always say to God, I'm not perfect, but I always say to God, help me to look at people's heart and not on the outward. And I always say, because man represents flesh, and man looks on the outward, and God looks at the heart, I would say God represents spirit. So if we're being led by the Spirit of God, then surely, no matter what something looks on the outward, it's about, you know, discernment and saying, God, help me to love how you love. Because if someone's shouting at you and switching or acting a certain way, you know, is that because of you, or is that because of what they're going through? Are you going to step back from them? And so that's what I'm saying. As much as it's about our inner beauty, it's about asking God for us to see other people's inner beauty as well. So if you ever think that you might be a queen someday, which I would say that we are all queens, we are royal priesthood anyway, or if you ever think you're going to be a president or anything like that, pray to God that he would give you a heart that is faithful to him. Read and study the Bible. Spend time each day in prayer. Literally, I think, was it David that spent an hour? Was it three times a day or something? Or Daniel? But I would say an hour a day makes everything more manageable, to be honest. So I always say to people, you can split that up, 20 minutes. 20 minutes of prayer, 20 minutes of worship, 20 minutes of reading the Word. To me, that's not a lot. And if you've gone and spent an hour watching EastEnders, Omnibus, or whatever it is, on a Friday night, which I do sometimes, yeah, we've got to think, ask God for us to be more like him. So, you know, it's more about his will. And so I would say, personally for me, things started shifting in my life when I was obedient to what he was telling me to do, to not go with the crowd, but to understand that we are the ecclesia, which means the called out ones, which means that he may tell us to do things that may not look like the norm to everyone else. Because he's God, he's allowed to do that. And also coming away from, you know, religious mindset of what looks like, what it should look like, you know, if that's God and if that's not God. And, you know, Jesus himself was told that, you know, he was possessed, he had Beelzebub, a demon in him, and he had to correct the Pharisees. So it's like, let us not just be the hearers of the word, but let us be the doers of the word. So let's think, you know, how are we treating people? Even today I had a lesson on, you know, how to work with lesbian, gay and bisexual clients in social work. And, you know, it's about looking at, you know, people, like their heart, and not letting religion dictate to you what you can and cannot do. So, you know, the other day I decorated my house and I asked God, please help me, bring someone to help me put up these curtains. I have nobody to ask, a male to ask at this point, and I was in a fast. And God used my neighbour who's a gay man, and I was thinking, oh, do you get what I mean? That's God. I mean, he can put up a curtain. His sexuality doesn't change the fact that he can put up a curtain. So, yes, does, you know, how do we teach and show the love of God if you're going to cut people off? Show them that, you know, you're not being judgmental, but you're obviously praying for them. But show them that, you know, show them love. It's like the same difference. If you're fornicating, it's the same difference, because God doesn't look at sin and think one sin's worse than the other. So let us not focus on, you know, let's not get discriminative, because God's not discriminative. Because if he was, I think we would all be dead, because the things that we do and we've done in our life, if it wasn't for God's mercy, we would just all be mashed up. So who am I to say, yeah, I can say, I don't feel that, you know, in according to the Bible, it's a man and woman that's meant to live together. But am I going to say that to the gay person? I mean, he knows that I'm a Christian. He knows that I'm blasting out my worship. And so you gently do it. You show someone love and you show them it. And then eventually they will ask you about your faith, and then they would, that would, that's how you do it, you know. So I just want to encourage you all. So yeah, Christ is all. No matter what you face in life, pray to God for an inner beauty that shines forth in everything you do and say, so that people can come to you and say, what is it about you, you know, that, you know, you're not Bible bashing, but you're actually saying, hey, how are you? If you look at what Jesus did, he sat with the sinners. He sat with them. He sat with them. And I think sometimes there's a fear in the body of Christ because, you know, we're set apart and I can't do that. And I understand if you're struggling with things, you can't be around certain people if you're struggling with certain sin yourself. But once you've come out of that sin, let's try and, you know, go out there to the homeless or to the broken, to the prostitutes, and actually know that God will have his way through you. And if he doesn't use you, he'll use someone else. If Esther didn't step up, then God will just use someone else. So all he's looking for is a willful heart. You don't have to have a theology in Christianity. You don't have to have anything like that. All you need to do is have a willing heart. Like, David wasn't perfect, but he had a heart chasing after God, and he lived a repentant life. So those are the three key points, I would say. The four key points. Spend time with God. If it's going to be an hour, 20 minutes in reading your word, 20 minutes in worship, 20 minutes in prayer, you can combine it and live a repentant life. And just to finish, these are the key characteristics of Queen Esther that we can ask God for more of. But like I said, be prepared for challenges when you ask for certain things, but it's a good thing because it says that it will refine you and make you more of that virtuous woman. Be humble. So these are the things, characteristics: obedience, humility, respected authority, loved God, and she loved God and her people. She was gentle, beautiful, bold. She listens and acts on God's will. She fasted and prayed, which is a major key thing. Devoted. Esther is a woman of so many beautiful characters, which you can also adopt in your personal life. God used Esther to protect his people from their enemies. Pray and find out how God can use you for his glory. Be a woman of good character. So yeah, I just want to finish up in prayer. Yeah? So thank you, Lord, for this time, Lord God. We just stand in agreement, Lord Father God. Your word says, where two or three are gathered, there you are. And anything after your name shall be given. We just pray, Lord God, that you'd help us to be more like you. That, God, that when you correct us, it's not because you don't like us. It's because you love us. And that's what love is, Father God. So any issue we may have had from our mother and our father, if they forsake us, or even if they didn't accept us, or they're always, you know, being hard on us now, Lord Father God, whatever it is, any issue you may have had with rejection or abandonment, we just come against it now in Jesus' name, Lord Father God. That's not how you created us to be. You turned Esther's situation into something positive. So God, let us know, God, and help us to feel your peace every day, Lord Father God. Help us to walk in humility, Lord, and obedience, Lord God. And Lord, help us to love one another. That's your greatest commandment, Lord, to love you and love others as we love ourselves. We can't love others if we can't love ourselves. So help us to love ourselves, to take care of ourselves in our minds, in our bodies, in our health. And that's not about saying you can't eat certain things, but it is about saying what goes inside of my body. What is my relationship with food like? What is my relationship with makeup, with my hair, and how I want to do that? But let us even ask you, Holy Spirit, how would you like me to dress today? Or how would you like me to put my hair? How would you like to put my makeup? And God, I decree and I declare, Lord God, that the men of God that you bring to us, Lord God, that we'll be ready, Lord God. We'll be ready. We'll be prepared, Lord Father God, that we wouldn't be like off guard, but we'll be prepared in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God. And we will have discernment, Lord Father God, and he will discern, and he will see our inner beauty in the name of Jesus. He will see our inner beauty with makeup and without makeup, Lord Father God, skinny or big, Lord God, whatever it is, weave or no weave, Lord God, that your will be done, Lord Father God, on earth as it is in heaven, in the mighty name of Jesus. In heaven, there's none of that. is just joy and there's freedom. And we decree your joy and your freedom in all things in Jesus' name. And as sisters of God, as women of God, let us love one another as sisters, Lord God. Let there be unity, Lord God. Let there not be competition, Lord God. But let there be love, Lord Jesus. And let us be examples to other women, to younger women, even older women. It's not necessarily about age. Lord, let us be those virtuous women, Lord God, and let us go on to mentor other women, Lord God. Let them look up to us, Lord God, as a good example and not a bad example of how women of God should be, Lord Father God. But let us not judge in our speech, Lord God, but let us correct with love, Lord God, and let us do that in a way that's not going to, you know, even if someone feels a certain way, Lord, let us pray in that secret place for them. For that the Holy Spirit, Lord God, to guide them, because your will would always be done, Lord God. Let us step out of the way and not try and say to you, God, have you considered this way? Have you considered that way? And try and fast up ourselves, Lord God, and put our will into the situation, Lord God. Lord, we repent today if we've ever tried to do that, whether that's in work, in our studies, in relationships, friendships, in family matters, Lord God. We repent this day of any time trying to force our way through something out of anxiety, worry, or control. And we repent, Lord, because your word says, without faith we cannot please you. So we decree and we declare, Lord, that you replace any fear or anxiety with us with the spirit of love, power, and a sound mind, Lord God, with the spirit and a garment of praise, Lord God. And we shall worship you in spirit and truth. We shall spend time with you because you are our dad. That's not nice, not spending time with you when you're thinking you haven't spoken to me for days now. But yet when you want something, you come to me. When you're going through, you come to me. Let us come to you consistently, Lord God. Let us be disciplined in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Let us be disciplined, Lord God. Lord, that's what it says, the spirit of sound mindedness. Another translation to the spirit of discipline, to be disciplined. Lord, let us be disciplined. Let our mind be in you, Lord Jesus. Let us not be distracted by the things of this earth, Lord, or worldly things, Lord God. But let us love one another. And let us love people who reach the church where you're classed as sinners, because we were once in that place. And if people didn't reach out to us or give us that food that we needed when we were hungry or help us in our time of need, what would we have done? Because you use people. You even use a donkey in the Bible, so it actually doesn't matter who you use. You're going to use anyone to get your will done on earth. And so, even in the Bible, King Cyrus, in Isaiah 45, he wasn't a Christian, but yet he was anointed. Lord, help us to not be consumed by religion, Lord God, the spirit of religion, and the spirit of control, Lord. But let us be moved by your spirit, Lord God, that actually says that you don't have to agree with a sinful action, but you need to love the person and to show them the love of God. In the name of Jesus, give us the balance. Let it be a just weight. Let there be balance in your body, Lord Jesus. Like I said before, let us be led by the Spirit, not by what we see. And let us not do things out of obligation, either, that the right thing to do as a Christian, but rather let us do something out of a sincere faith of your Holy Spirit saying to do it. We may not understand why, but let us not say to you, oh, that doesn't fit the norm of Christianity, God, so I can't do that. Let us be radical for you in Jesus' mighty name. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.